I'm a huge fan of helping other people in my life know how to help me.
Yeah.
You know, like helping people understand how to help me. So that means things like employing a healthy, proactive communication of what I want, what I need, what my boundaries are to the people around me that I need support from, being clear about the kind of support that I need, or being clear in not knowing as well. Sometimes it's okay. Sometimes I think it is okay to be like, I'm not sure exactly what I need right now, but like, let me percolate on it, or let me think about it and let you know. Or I don't know exactly what I want right now, but like, let's start with a hug.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multi-Amory Podcast. On this episode of the Multi-Amory Podcast, we're talking about emotional support and emotionally supportive relationships, as well as the inverse, tropos lenoitome.
I didn't think you'd actually commit to that.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What I actually mean to say is the inverse, which is emotional neglect, I guess, or a lack of support.
Codependence also.
And codependence, I guess, too, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. That's emotional support backwards.
Felt backwards,
yeah. Yeah, this is another classic case of someone else wrote Jace's intro and Jace didn't proofread it.
I did, and I liked it.
Oh,
so
really?
So I decided to stick with it, yeah.
I'm amazed, because
you were just like, how do I actually say this?
Usually you hate the things I write.
No, that is not true.
No, but usually, yeah, I guess for our listeners at home, usually one of these two writes the intro for me and tries to get me to stumble over it.
I usually don't.
No, it's not trying to get you to stumble over it. It's
dedicated.
Like trying to get you to just be aware and be careful.
Oh, I see.
Of being tricked.
I see. It's like that thing that your sibling does. And it's like, no, I just trip you when you're running down the hall to like teach you to be careful.
Yeah, she's teaching you a lesson.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. It's for your own good, Jace.
Yeah. Perfect.
Speaking of other things for your own good, I'm going to rant at you and at Emily and at myself and at all the listeners. It's just a general rant. On the ephemeral nature of words and word definitions, because, correct me if I'm wrong, Emily, but I think like the inspiration for this episode was trying to get to the bottom of like, what is emotional support? It seems like that's a word or a phrase that means very different things to different people.
Absolutely.
Am I right in that? Yeah.
Yeah. And some people that I've heard of, like how they support their partners and how their partners support them. I'm like, wow, that's really kind of overboard in my mind, but maybe to them that's normal. So, yeah, what do you think it means to you?
Well, just to build on that, I think you can also see the opposite of seeing a relationship where it feels like that person seems like they're not giving the kind of support that I would need in a relationship. Maybe that is what works for those two people, you know? I just want to put it out there just at the very beginning that there's some words that get tossed around a lot when talking about relationships, and especially with relationship advice, words like support or respect or honor, or sometimes even
honor my wife.
Yeah. Or sometimes even like prioritize. And it's like, these are very subjective words, I think. And sometimes to a dangerous degree, because it's, you know, you can very easily get into a disagreement over feeling like, well, I feel like you're not supportive enough of me.
Yeah.
And the other person being like, I feel like I'm totally supportive of you, you know, and it could be a number of things. It could be just kind of like the language of support that you're using with each other is just mismatched or something like that. But I'm just saying that like, there isn't really a universal definition that applies in all scenarios of what support or respect means. So I'm just going to put it out there at the very top of the episode. What I like to encourage people to do is chase the specific concrete needs that you have rather than chasing a word or a label.
Yeah.
And if you're finding yourself in a situation where you're frustrated that it's like, well, I've asked my partner for support and they're not giving it, that might mean it requires a little bit of some critical analysis of like, okay, well, what does support mean to me? What are the specific behaviors? What do I need to see? What do I want to hear? What, you know, as opposed to just putting out this blanket thing of, I need you to support me, without being clear on what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because for some people, that could be totally different than for someone else.
Yeah. Even within partnerships, clearly.
Definitely. Right?
Yeah.
And that's true with a lot of different things, too, where it's like you could look at another couple and go, like, that's really cute that they have that together. But I actually don't think I would be very happy with that type of relationship, whether it's like how spontaneous they are or it's how emotionally supportive they are. You might be like, whoa, I actually want more space than that.
Yeah.
Whereas another person might look at you and your relationships that you think are great and go, gosh, I feel like I wouldn't be getting any affection from my partner or whatever, right? It's like, the point isn't, here's one correct way to do it. The point is, let's explore what this means and kind of how to understand these things so you can find what works for you.
Right. Yeah. So I did find a fairly good definition of what emotional support in a relationship is. This is from liveyourtruestory.com, which is, you know,
right.
something.
Quite a domain.
Isn't it?
Name.
Yeah. Okay. And they say a supportive relationship is a relationship which brings mutual benefit to both parties, helping them to cope with the tough times and maximize the good times. Simply put, a supportive relationship enables you to achieve more than you ever could on your own.
Hmm.
All right.
I like that. I like that there's kind of some fundamentals of mutuality in the support.
I mean, I do think, like, if you have a partnership that really kind of pushes you in a way to be the best version of yourself, and by pushing or whatever, like, that is a form of support, I do think that that kind of can encapsulate what this is talking about to a degree. And just like someone who is there for you when times get tough and can kind of help pull you out of that if need be.
Right.
And that you mutually do the same for them.
Well, so we felt that it was maybe best to start chipping away at what is emotional support and what is an emotionally supportive relationship first by looking at some of the things that are not emotional support or not supportive or mutually supportive relationships.
Yeah.
And so the first thing we're going to talk about is codependent relationships. Let's have a show of hands. Who here has been in a codependent relationship? I'm putting up both my hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hands all around.
Whoa, party.
Yeah. I mean, who hasn't? Let's be honest.
Any good stories? I honestly feel like every relationship I was in from age 0 to maybe age 27 was pretty darn codependent. I think especially in my kind of pre-non-monogamy days, because I think that was just what I thought a relationship was.
Well, that's the thing. We are kind of taught this romanticized idea of, you know, you complete me, or kind of like, I'm nothing without you. These sorts of things that we think of as very romantic, but are kind of at their core very codependent.
Yes.
Yeah. I did hear a podcast recently where, like, it's with a couple, I'm not going to name what it is, but it's with a couple that does the podcast together. And the husband was like, yeah, I've been obsessed with her, like, since we were 12 years old.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, like, the word obsessed is interesting.
Right.
And maybe potentially can be viewed as codependent. Because this was also, like, kind of the impetus for this episode, for me wanting to think about this episode is that, you know, their relationship is kind of one of like, well, let's give a lot of gifts and let's, you know, be super extravagant in what we're doing for each other, or that he has to be really extravagant and like overly like telling her how amazing she is and giving her a ton of compliments and showering her with gifts. And I do think that some people think that like that is support or that is being like a wonderful, supportive, like loving, caring partner. And yeah, again, I'm like, I don't know. Is that? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I guess it kind of depends on their experience in the relationship, you know, because like maybe that is the perfect level of mutual support that the two of them feel okay maintaining, or maybe it's really exhausting for both of them and they feel obligated, but that's just kind of the level that things have gotten to, perhaps.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
So a codependent relationship, let's kind of break down what that is exactly. So one of the things that it can do, it is characterized by unhealthy clinginess, a lack of autonomy, a lack of self-sufficiency, or autonomy in one or both partners. Mm-hmm. So not just like, autonomy for the whole, but also like if one person has that, then potentially mm-hmm. that can equal a codependent relationship.
Yeah, so it doesn't necessarily have to be one-sided. It could be both people feeling equally like they're disempowered or that they don't have an autonomy or that they're both...
It's always us.
Yeah. Or the idea of just like we're mutually completely dependent upon each other for our emotional well-being.
Yeah. Or any like decision that. Making or whatever.
Yeah. A codependent relationship can also include a major imbalance in the level of support that is given. So as in situations like
the
where
one-sided kind of thing.
Yeah, where it's one-sided or maybe it's not quite so mutual. Or if you're giving support to a partner at the expense of your own mental health, emotional well-being, physical health, or financial health as well.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely done that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea that it's like you're kind of draining yourself in order to support this partner and you're not getting much back. Not that it's necessarily like a one-to-one transactional thing, but that systemically it's like there's just this constant major imbalance that is... that
your
is depleting me.
Yeah.
That's depleting me as a person. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually just earlier today in kind of looking up stuff about this episode. I was looking at a thing from Safe People, which is by Cloud Townsend.
Huh.
I can't remember if
book
that's
or
one.
What?
I think Safe People might be the title of the book, actually. Mm. But it's a very, very Christian book in the way that it's written here, but I was just looking through their site and looking at their description of what a safe person is and that like you want safe people in your life.
One who is connected to God.
That is on the list.
But
religion aside, the things on it are things like, someone who accepts me just like I am, someone who loves me no matter how I'm being or what I do. And I'm like, oh, okay, sure, Lord. Like, that's a little blankety. And then, gives me an opportunity to grow, great. Who increases love within me, great. I can be myself around, great. But then there was this one that was someone who helps me to deny myself for others and God.
Wait, huh, what does that even mean?
That makes my ears perk up a little bit.
Right.
Not in a good way.
Not in a good way. It was just a little bit like, ooh, yikes. And then there's a few others that are a little bit on that, like, wait, what do you mean
denies
by this?
Denies myself what?
Deny myself, I assume, means like to deny my own desires or my own wants for the sake of other people.
Correct on that.
Or for God. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, it's just these things that... To someone who maybe errs on the side of being a little more selfish, I'm like, okay, maybe that's a good influence in their life. But for a person who errs more on the codependent side of things, who does, or on the like overly self-sacrificing side, I look at this list and I'm like, wow, this book that sold hundreds of thousands of copies is teaching people to bring people into their lives who will make that worse. So anyway, I guess just I brought that up. Just as a way to point out like that a lot of the conventional wisdom out there and the popular advice that like I had a counselor recommend that book to me years ago.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I knew about it at all. That there's some stuff that's like, it really depends on your situation. Like you do have to kind of evaluate what those things really mean for you. Because it might sound very healthy to one person and to another person could end up being very unhealthy.
Yeah.
Right. I think it also requires a certain level of self-awareness of your own baggage, of your own, what kind of just like your own style of being or your style of being in a relationship. Like if you know that you tend to end up in codependent relationships, or if you know that you tend to end up being the person who just gives, to the point of total depletion, like sometimes... having that awareness in the first place can be really helpful as well.
Yeah.
And this, I've found this one is definitely a case where I've seen myself do this, I've seen partners do this, and I've seen other people do this, where it's like, give support at the cost of your emotional, physical, and financial well-being, and that support isn't even really supporting the other person very well.
Interesting.
That it's like
in what way?
Well, it's like, I'm giving a bunch of my resources... whatever those are to support you. And maybe that's not the kind of support you actually need. Right. It's that like giving it because we're taught like, oh, the self-sacrificingness of giving this is what makes it good.
Yeah.
Rather than the impact of it being what makes it good, you know, like rather than actually looking at what is going to give the best benefit to the other person.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'm gonna stop myself from going on a big rant about missionary work.
That's...
It's a good metaphor, though. Think about it.
It's a whole other podcast, my love.
Yeah. All right. So the last thing we want to talk about this with the supportive relationships versus codependent ones is on WebMD, actually. They had a thing about codependent relationships. And I actually really liked this list of questions to ask yourself to identify if you might be in a codependent relationship. And there's just three of them. The first one is, are you unable to find satisfaction in your life outside of a specific person?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
I've definitely experienced that one before.
Really?
Well, I think NRE really lends itself to this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, nothing is enjoyable, nothing is worthwhile outside of this specific person.
Yeah.
Second one is, do you recognize unhealthy behaviors in your partner, but you stay with them in spite of those things?
Yeah.
I think that's a big one that a lot of us
have been there.
Have fallen into. Yeah. And then the third one is, are you giving support to your partner at the cost of your own mental, emotional, or physical health?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one we were just talking about.
Yeah.
But I just liked how simple those questions were and how much they're directed at yourself.
Yeah.
It's not about like, oh, from the outside, are there XYZ symptoms? It's like, no, what about for you? What's your experience?
Yeah, it's also not about, we talked about this in the episode that we did about narcissism, that it's also not about trying to figure out, is my partner a narcissist?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's literally just about what is the impact on you?
Yeah. Yep.
That's what we care about. We don't care about, we don't need to examine your partner's motivations. Are they a bad person? Are they a good person? Are they doing things intentionally? Are they not? Like, it's just focusing on you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think those are good, simple questions.
Yeah. And that's really a powerful position to be put in because then you are the one who is the deciding factor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not like anything about them per se.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we also want to talk about how to recognize a lack of support in your relationships, because again, I definitely have heard people say like, I feel like I'm really supportive in this relationship, but I feel like my partner isn't necessarily, or I'm not getting like the emotional support that I want from them, you know, X, Y, Z. It could be a number of things, but ways to recognize a lack of support might include dismissing or minimizing your experience or feelings. So this almost falls into like the gaslighting territory to me.
It could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like maybe like an extra extreme version of this. It doesn't have to go that far.
Yeah. Sure. I think that there are degrees of gaslighting.
Absolutely.
But I think there's definitely some overlap in that Venn diagram there.
Yeah. I think it can a little bit. And again, you know, this just kind of means like if you have a experience with your partner or they say something, for example, that irks you in a bad way, and you even just ask like kindly about like, hey, you know, I felt X when you said Y. Can we talk about that a little bit? And they're like, no, it really was nothing. Like you didn't feel that or that was dumb to feel that or something along those lines, like minimizing your experience.
Right.
I feel like I have to catch myself to stop myself from doing this to partners, honestly, because I think that in my family of origin, a lot of like problem solving was kind of like dismissing or minimize someone's feelings. So kind of like trying to logic them out of
that's
feeling
really
bad about
point.
Something, you know, which has its place, but most of the time doesn't have its place when someone's reaching out to you for support.
Calling like,
that's true.
Yeah. I mean, something that I heard a lot growing up, I feel like was like, well, you're victimizing yourself.
Interesting.
And like that word is very powerful, I think. And I almost want to do an episode on like what that means, like to be a victim versus victimizing yourself. And that that could be some rocky territory there, but I'd really be interested to know like more about that. Where that fine line is, because I do think, I mean, obviously, like you can have an emotion and that can be more internal. That can be because of an internal thing that has happened to you in the past or whatever. But there's also, you know, like, hey, like that really was unnecessary for you to say. kind of thing, and know my feelings in this moment are valid.
Yeah.
So respect them.
I think I'd want to just add to this list. I think, you know, dismissing your feelings, minimizing your feelings or experience, or also trying to logic away your feelings.
Yeah.
I think would be included in this list.
It's a similar type, you know?
And again, like, especially when it comes to logicking away, I don't think that always comes from a bad place. But it definitely doesn't help things, I suppose.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It could even come from a helpful place, but is, and that's a good example of kind of what I was trying to bring up before about, you might feel like you're giving a lot of support and even feel like put out by how much support you're giving, but that may, the effect of that may actually be not supportive at all.
Yeah.
That's actually a decent example of that.
Yeah.
Another one here about a lack of support is, a partner who defaults to competitiveness rather than encouragingness.
I think it's encouragement is what we say in the English language.
Yeah. Encouragingness.
You know what? As a native speaker of English, I can do whatever I want.
Wow, okay.
It's all right.
Whatever you want. I see.
Yeah, just that. That it's like, if something goes well for you, they need to one-up you. Or they need to come up with a way that they've experienced something better than that already.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, yeah, yeah, I've had something more so than that.
This definitely can come up in multi-partner relationships or non-monogamous relationships,
sure,
especially when two people are kind of trying to date at the same time, that this can come up sometimes unintentionally.
Yeah.
I think usually unintentionally. I think usually the person doing this, again, doesn't know that they're doing it. They might even think, oh, I'm relating to you by sharing my feelings about that and like how much of that means to me, but it actually feels like, well, you're just focused on you and not helping me celebrate this thing that went well for me.
Yeah.
Another sign that there may be a lack of support in your relationship is if your partner routinely talks over you or interrupts you.
This is a real bad one.
It's a tough one. And again, with many of these things, it's like, we've all been guilty of doing it to a partner at some point. Yeah. And so that's why it's important to look at, like, is this routine? Is this habitual? Is this a pattern? So talking over you, like, if a partner is truly invested in supporting you, they will want to hear your side of things and they will want to hear your story. And they will, you know, ideally want to give that space for that to exist, you know, instead of kind of, again, talking over or doing all these things like diminishing or minimizing or things like that. And then to kind of keep going through these circles of anti-emotional support hell, I suppose, is if the relationship is emotionally neglectful or emotionally abusive. And we're going to talk quickly about the differences between neglect and abuse, because there is some overlap, but they're not necessarily the same thing.
Okay, so neglect will be a pattern or a habit of a partner refusing or withdrawing support. So again, like we said about the previous things, we're all guilty of being emotionally neglectful at times, but we definitely want to emphasize the like systemic nature of neglect or of, you know, withdrawing support, the habitual like pattern that can happen in some relationships. Yeah. And that's the thing to kind of look for. If you're wondering like, hey, am I being neglected here? Am I just like thinking that this is something that's happening? Is it all in my head? Or is this actually something that I need to look at?
So I was just going to give some examples that emotional neglect, you know, habitual emotional neglect could look something like, anytime the two of you have a disagreement, your partner shuts down and then refuses to talk about it ever again. And we kind of just pretend that it never happened and never existed. Or when you're going through a rough time, this person's nowhere to be found. Like routinely, they just kind of check out and they're not around.
Yeah.
And, you know,
during the hard times.
Same things like that.
Yeah, totally. So, okay, then abuse is also a pattern or a habit of a partner doing things to harm you emotionally. But this can look like things
But it's doing things rather than not doing things, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a habit of a partner doing things to harm you emotionally. Correct. So this can include things like name calling or guilt tripping or coercion, ultimatums, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So maybe gaslighting can fall under this too.
So that can fall into the emotional abuse category.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like the point that we were trying
one
to make
is not doing and one is doing.
Right. That's kind of the difference.
You could have a mix of both in a relationship. Honestly,
sure, for yeah, sure. Yeah. One yeah. can true. Be neglectful and abusive. Yes. Oh, joy.
The extent, so not, the powers yeah. of human beings is just yeah. amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Although we do want to say, kind of like Dedeker was mentioning at the beginning of the episode, that the point of this isn't to be like, oh, well, you need to figure out if you fit enough of these symptoms to diagnose your partner or your relationship as being emotionally neglectful or abusive or whatever it is, but rather to keep the focus on what is your experience of it. And if that is an unhealthy or just a bad experience, then that's enough of a reason to get out of it. You don't need to like be sure it fits some other definition to either change that relationship or remove yourself from that relationship.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Okay, so I like to believe we've kind of chipped away at what emotional support is not, or some clues that you might look out for.
Not.
God bless it, you two.
Sorry.
I did not. Okay. We chipped away at the qualities of what emotionally supportive relationships are not, some clues for you to be able to see, like, oh, maybe there's a lack of support here, I'm being emotionally neglected, or maybe it's a codependent relationship. What are the qualities of an actually healthy supportive relationship? How does one actually give emotional support to your partner in a way that's good?
So the challenge with this list here, I'm realizing, is that we have a number of things that are kind of written in the negative. So I'm going to challenge us to try to come up with what's the positive of
that.
Okay,
all right.
Okay. So here's the first one on the list, is that you don't take responsibility for their entire life.
Okay, so you...
To turn this into a positive statement.
Them,
Oh, I like that. Wait. Well, you allow them to...
You allow them to live their beautiful life and are happy and grateful when it also includes you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's a good place to start.
I pulled that one way up out of my ass.
You allow your partner to have autonomy and responsibility for their own life.
That sounds better.
Or like you support your partner in making their own decisions and taking action in their own life. Something like that.
Yeah. Like
that. Anyways, you can get from what we're getting at here is that the point of this is that supporting someone isn't doing things for them.
Yeah.
It isn't telling them what they need to do and expecting them to do it.
It isn't solving all their problems all the time.
Exactly. It's not giving them all the answers as if you have them, but it's not about you being like, well, I'm responsible for this person's life, so I'm just gonna have to do it all for them.
Yeah.
Right. Instead, allowing them to live their own life and be there to support them in doing that. The next one here is, this one is a positive. So this is respecting their feelings. So allow for and proactively empathize with your partner's feelings, even if they're not the same as your feelings.
Yeah.
And we wanted to talk a little bit about what that means.
Yeah. So you, Dedeker, like, had a really awesome thing to say about this.
Yeah.
It kind of blew my mind.
Something that I believe this comes from the Gottmans. Don't quote me on that.
Ye old Gottman.
From ye olde Gottmans. But something that they encourage people to try on when they're in a disagreement with their partner, is to inject empathy into it. And so as in, I don't know, let me try to think of a situation. Can we think of some kind of argumentative situation where my feelings were hurt, other person's feelings were hurt? Can we come up with an example?
Okay.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on adammail.com and evestoys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMail.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy, or anything you desire. Something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, M-U-L-T-I at adamandeve.com, adammail.com, or evestoys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code M-U-L-T-I.
Like... Jace, you, I don't know.
I thought you were going somewhere.
Yeah, I really thought this had so much problems. Okay, yeah. let me do some low hanging fruit. Let's say I go out on a date.
Yeah,
maybe Jace was expecting me back home at a certain time, or expecting me to communicate that I was on the way back home at a certain time, but I didn't.
Yeah, great.
But I did come back home, like I said that I would. But Jace is feeling kind of upset or hurt or lost or whatever. And so we get into an argument about that because maybe Jace's perspective is like, well, I was worried about you. Or I was concerned about you. Or I didn't know what was going to happen. I was expecting you back at a certain time. And maybe my perspective is like, hey, I told you I was going to be home. I didn't commit to a certain time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why you have to be so upset about that. You know that I'm coming home and that I'm fine, you know, yada, yada, yada. Okay. You can imagine it in your head. And some of you listening have probably been in this very same scenario. So clearly my feelings about the situation are different from Jace's feelings about the situation, but I can still empathize with my partner's feelings, even if they don't align with my own, even if I don't think that his perception of the situation is the same as I perceived it.
Yeah.
So it could be something like, well, Jace, if I were in your shoes and if I also was sitting there, like thinking about, you know, worried that I got into a car crash or worried that I'd run across some kind of bad person, or the person that I was on a date with was a bad person, was taking advantage of me. It's like something bad had happened. I would also feel that same level of worry that you do. So kind of like, oh, if I perceive the situation the way that you did, yeah, I also would feel worried. It's totally understandable that you would feel worried and concerned and upset.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And maybe, I don't know, what would be the inverse of that, Jace, if you were kind of doing the same thing to me in that scenario?
I guess on the other side, it would be that just like, well, if my experience of it were that I knew I was fine and I was out having fun and I knew we didn't have any specific plans, then it would seem like an extra hour or two wouldn't matter. And so it was more important to, you know, be in the moment and enjoy the time that I had instead of rushing home for no reason.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. Yeah. Or if I believed... Or I guess you could even say, like, if I were in your position and I believed that I wouldn't be worried about it, if I believed that the other person wouldn't be worried about it, then I would probably stay out too.
Totally understand and make the same decisions or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think
that's the key part there.
I know this is kind of a coupled together example, so thank you for your patience in this. But yeah, it's kind of this idea of being able to acknowledge to your partner basically that their feelings are valid.
Yeah.
Even if you don't feel that same exact way.
Heard.
I thought of another example of this that I feel like maybe even fits more with what we're trying to say. And this is, say you're having an argument with your partner, or like some kind of a heated discussion. And one of you, says fuck in that conversation. And the person who said fuck, that's like, whatever, that's a thing they would say in this kind of conversation. But to the other person, that's like...
Felt like an attack?
Feels like an attack.
Or it's triggering.
If you say that word, that means there's no coming back from this. We've gone so far into like hating each other that you would say that word. And I think this is a good example of where the way this conversation will often end up going is then the person gets upset about them saying fuck or whatever it was that, you know, they reacted so badly to, and being upset about it. And the other person saying like, you shouldn't be upset about that. It's just fuck. And the other person being like, no, that's terrible. Like I should be really upset about that. I can't believe you said that. And the other person saying like, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And like, what is missing here is that empathy, like Dedeker was talking about, of going, wait a minute, explain to me what your perception of this is so I can understand it. And then it's the, like, to me, that word means this, you know, like that was only ever said in my family when things were just
really bad,
awful, right? Yeah. And then it's like, oh yeah, I could understand if that word meant that to me, I would feel the same way as you.
Yeah.
And then on the other side too, it's like, that's just a word I say, like that I say with my friends and past partners and, you know, whatever. It's like, so not a big deal. And the other person can say, huh, like, if I felt that way about that word, if it was like saying fiddlesticks to me, I could see why he would say it, and it wouldn't be upsetting to me. And it's that example of like, by taking that time to understand why they feel that way, it at least gives you a place to understand each other from, rather than it's like you're trying to argue whether something should or shouldn't be when you're both seeing the world completely differently.
Yeah.
Like you're watching two different movies and you're trying to argue about some quality of the protagonist or something like that.
Kind of reminds me of switch tracking a little bit, but
a little bit.
I think it's related. Yeah,
it's definitely related. I think it's also related to, we've talked about this a couple times on the show about like competing narratives or competing realities.
Yeah.
You know, this idea that you both perceive things differently.
Yeah.
And that like we can get so caught up in trying to get the other person to agree that our perception was the right one and that their perception was the wrong one rather than kind of accepting that it's like, oh, both of these perceptions can be valid and we can find a common ground here and shared empathy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's like, we don't even realize there is another perception.
Yeah.
Instead it's just like, you assume they think of things, they perceive things the same way you do. And then it's like, how the hell did you have that emotional response to this thing?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. What are you doing?
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. All right, another like affirmative thing is to compliment your partner in public. That is a sign of a healthy and supportive relationship, or even just like avoiding humiliation or put downs in public. I mean, I think you probably shouldn't humiliate or put your partner down in general.
Just period, yeah.
Yeah, but definitely like not in public. That's kind of a rough one. Yeah.
The public like adds a whole other level to it, you know?
Yeah.
Both in the good way and the bad way.
Yeah.
Like, I think doing compliments in front of other people is
big. I know.
Big.
It's like, oh, wow. Well, yeah. That's really sweet of you to do for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this says never ignoring a partner's presence, but how do we make that into a positive?
Well, I'm going to keep making it a negative and just say that this also kind of means, like, don't stonewall your partner.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
But like, to make this positive, it's like
acknowledging their presence.
Yeah.
Like being sweet to them in public, maybe even, or just like,
I guess I imagine this one more as about being in private, but I guess it could apply in public too.
Yeah.
But well, just that, like, I'm doing a thing and I'm just going to pretend you don't exist right
now.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, I'm trying to think of like the scenarios when stonewalling behavior comes up, and it's usually when you're like angry or upset, or there's a disagreement, or you're fighting, and like that's when the stonewalling behavior comes up, and where you're just moving through the house, you know, not looking at each other, or coming into a room not looking at each other. So I guess the opposite of that can be is like, even if you're upset with each other, still being able to acknowledge and treat each other like human beings.
Well, if like someone comes home from a long day and instead of like, you know, it maybe get up and greet them and say hi and like look away from your computer for a couple minutes kind of thing and just like acknowledge their presence.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, this reminds me of the Gottmans thing about the turning toward is what they call it. And they talk a lot about the importance of that, what Emily just described, is that moment of I'm going to stop what I'm doing right now to acknowledge you.
Or even like put your phone down.
Right.
Like don't just like, if you're watching something together, don't just like play a fucking video game on your phone.
Sure,
you know, like kind of maybe cuddle your partner or like show that you care about them and care about like the thing that you two are doing together in that moment.
Yeah. And that's not to say you can never do those things, but
sure,
it's just
but
putting that emphasis on turning toward.
Yeah.
Right.
And again, we're talking about like those systemic kind of, you know, cyclical things, the patterns.
Yeah. Yeah. Another quality of a healthy, supportive relationship is respecting the other person's right and ability to make their own decisions. This is related to the stuff we were talking about earlier with like not taking responsibility for someone else's entire life.
Yeah.
And so a kind of a good litmus test for this is if you find that you're able to offer advice to your partner without it being conditional, as in you can offer advice to your partner and they have the ability to disregard it if they want. And that's a real tricky one. And I feel like this comes up so often. But it is that ability to like support this person in their own decision-making as opposed to supporting this person in trying to push an agenda on them of like, well, I think they should do this, you know, and I'm going to push them into doing this, or I'm going to push them into making this particular kind of decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's scary. it's scary to trust that like this person will make decisions both in their own interest and in the interest of you and your relationship as well.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like this is one that's easy to fall into the trap of thinking you're doing this when you're not.
Hmm.
And that's like someone's, you know, having to make a decision or isn't sure what to do about something. And you're like, well, you should do this. Like, it just makes sense that you do this. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but you should do this.
Yeah.
It's like, that's very different.
Thanks for being so supportive.
Right.
You're able to tell yourself like, oh yeah, I'm letting them make their own decision. And they could, you know, and if they say like, I just feel like you're telling me what to do. You're like, no, you can make your own decision. But what you're really saying is like you could make the wrong decision if you want, but I'm telling you the right one.
Yeah.
That's a very different thing.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah.
So when we were researching this, we came across this thing called the imaginary friend exercise.
Yeah.
That I'm going to let Jason.
Title of it?
Yeah, that's what it's called. And it was initially it was about helping someone who wants to be supportive in a relationship, but they're worried about being codependent or about getting like too invested in supporting this person and to an unhealthy extent.
Okay,
Jason,
so
can you tell us about imaginary friends?
Basically, it starts out as you picture yourself as an imaginary friend to this other person. And I know that right away might sound codependent when like your entire existence is dependent upon them believing in you.
Yeah.
That's not really what we're getting at here. But the point is that if you think about an imaginary friend is there to support and to help you out and to be a friend, but it can't do things for you because
it is you.
Well, because you're not real, right? Yeah. Like if you are the imaginary friend, like you're not a physical being. So your job is not to go in and do things for them.
Yeah.
Right. It's not to solve the problems for them. Another thing is that, as an imaginary friend, you are kind of part of their own brain. So your job is not to give them answers or to give them information that they don't have or tell them what to do. Instead, as the imaginary friend, your job is to just get them to think about it, ask them questions they need to be asked, make some suggestions, and listen to them and like help them kind of reflect back to themselves what they're trying to work on.
So the idea, correct me if I've gotten this wrong, I think the idea behind the imaginary friend exercise is this is like a litmus test to see like, okay, am I supporting the way imaginary friend would, as in with listening, with encouraging their own thinking and with encouraging them to make their own decisions, or am I straying into more codependent or maybe even controlling territory of trying to dictate what they do or trying to solve all their problems? But it's a litmus test. It's not like, hey, just pretend to be your partner's imaginary friend and that's the rest of your life now.
Yeah.
So could be a fun role play, just saying.
Like a sexual role play?
Yeah, you know, just for fun.
And this is my imaginary friend.
What?
Well, I mean, I guess if you're involving another person in it, but...
Oh, well,
I feel like use your imagination. All right. Come on.
Well, sorry. I'm sorry. The last time I had an imaginary friend, I think I was like 6 or something. And so it's hard for me to suddenly bring that into any kind of weird sexual realm. So you just kind of... baked my noodle a little bit, as it were.
Yeah. It's my noodle.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't have to make it weird.
Okay, I'm just going to bring this back to the exercise.
Let's move on. Yeah.
Use this as a litmus test. Please don't use it as a tool for running your life or for actually creating a relationship. Just as a litmus test for the support that you're offering.
A cute little thought exercise.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, please don't fuck your imaginary friends.
You can if you want. They're your imaginary friends.
Hang on. If you make up someone, as an adult, if you make up someone that you fantasize about... is that like a sexual imaginary friend? I've definitely had some of those.
Like a made-up person?
Like a made-up person, yes.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I don't... I mean, are they your friend?
Could Eva Green be my sexual imaginary friend?
Okay, well,
but
okay.
She's a real person.
But yeah,
that's
I'm thinking
the difference.
Of not real,
oh,
not real people.
Oh, well,
I fantasize about not real people all the time.
I think one other part of this actually is the friend part. And that's actually one of these here is that you're an imaginary friend. You're not an imaginary judge or an imaginary critic.
Mm. Yeah.
And God knows we've got those
does
two.
He? Sorry.
We've got those two, right? We've got plenty of imaginary critics or imaginary judges, right. But you're an imaginary friend.
But they're all us.
Yeah, but they're all us, yes.
That's the kicker.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm saying with your imaginary fantasy person, are they a friend or maybe there's something else?
Imaginary friend with benefits.
Yeah,
can my imaginary friend with benefits look like Eva Green, though?
Sure, if you want.
Yeah, I guess,
yeah.
cool. Okay. All right. So when all of this is said and done and you are going through a tough time, I think it is very practical and good to learn how to receive emotional support well, especially when you're going through like a really challenging time in your life. So the first step of this is to allow your partner's support and kindness to give you a chance to kind of step outside of yourself and, you know, the particular challenge that you're going through. I think that this kind of ties into the next one, which I'm going to talk about, which is gratitude. I know like a lot of kind of self-help things out there talk about gratitude being a really big thing. You know, like even just like writing down, what was it, just like three things every single day that you're grateful for?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it's just like, wow, like today in Los Angeles was a perfect day. Mm-hmm. It was glorious outside. Right. You know, I'm going to Chicago in a couple days and it's going to be in the 30s.
Jeez.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, you know, way different than that. I am so grateful for the, you know, beauty of being outside. Mm-hmm. And then also like when your partner is really good and compassionate and supportive of you, be like, wow, like, you know, I have someone in my life who is being so wonderful and lovely to me. And it allows you to like think outside of like the challenge that you're going through. Like if, you know, something really hard happened at work and you can't stop thinking about it and it made you feel really bad. It's like, wow, like my partner is taking the time to like really be there for me. And that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's like using the support itself as another thing to think about instead of just dwelling on the things that are not good in your life.
Exactly. Because I think, yeah, like, especially when some of us like get in a state of, you know, being really down, it's easy to just like wallow in it.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, wow, like I have things that are outside of this and like looking big picture in my life. There's more to my life than just this one instance or one moment.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge fan of helping other people in my life know how to help me. You know, like helping people understand how to help me. So that means things like employing a healthy, proactive communication of what I want, what I need, what my boundaries are to the people around me that I need support from, being clear about the kind of support that I need, or being clear and not knowing as well. Sometimes it's okay. Sometimes I think it is okay to be like, I'm not sure exactly what I need right now, but like, let me percolate on it or let me think about it and let you know. Or I don't know exactly what I want right now, but like, let's start with a hug and then just take it from there. Or let's start with me venting a little bit and then let's take it from there. And that also means if your support is some alone time or just I need some time by myself to process this, also let them know. You know, I think that along with falling prey to kind of these fuzzy definitions of support where we can get mired down in, I want you to support me, I am supporting you, no, you're not supporting me, you know, like kind of mired down in definitions, we can also fall prey to this idea of like, well, you should just know how to support me in this moment, or you should just know what it is that I need. And now, it's of course, like, of course, you don't want to have to be like instructing your partner every single step of the way with every single decision, with everything that they need to take care of you. But the fastest way to get what you want from someone is to ask for it.
Yeah.
And so like, it is okay to be really concrete, I think, in asking for what you need. It can be as concrete as like, I just want to sit here with you, not talking for a little while. And then I would love to cuddle with you and I'd love to cry. And then I would love to just take a couple hours not talking about it and let's go distract ourselves. And then maybe let's talk about it afterwards. Like,
yeah.
It's okay to be that specific about like the kind of support that you need and to be that specific in asking for it.
Yeah.
Another thing is to take a moment to do something kind for your partner during this time.
Or even a friend.
or a friend. Or a relative or someone else. This is something that Dedeker's talked about for a long time of like when you're feeling down, reach out to someone else and let them know that you think they're great or that you appreciate them or whatever it is as a way of both kind of paying it forward. But then also it like just kind of gets you out of this cycle of being so focused on everything happening to you and kind of like empowers you to be a positive force in someone else's life. And then somewhat related to that is actually praising your partner for the help that they're giving you and to let them know that you see that effort and you appreciate it.
Yeah.
This one's especially important too, if it's not like a little short-term thing, if it's not like you ask for support and they give it and you're like, okay, I feel better now.
Yeah. But I mean,
you're still struggling, right?
Yeah. And some people, I mean, you know, have a lot of shit going on at work, for example, for like a really long period of time. And they're just kind of in the weeds with that.
Or it could be something chronic. It could be, you know, chronic depression or chronic illness or chronic dealing with a death or, you know, like really long-term things that you need support on.
Yeah. But it's to let your partner know that you appreciate the support they are giving you.
Yeah.
Because it can be really helpful for them to know that as well. So they know they're on the right track and that what they're doing is helpful. Even if from the outside, they might be like, I must not be doing it right because they're still
not feeling better. Yeah.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
And this also reminds me of like the appreciation part as part of the reconnection in radar.
Yeah.
So when you're doing your radars of like having that time to appreciate each other for the support that you gave and for the listening that you did and like all those sorts of things that, sometimes I think we overlook a little bit and we get upset when we don't have them. So it's important to acknowledge them when we do have them.
Right. What do we want the people to take away from all this?
Well, we gave some good ways to like recognize what a supportive relationship is versus a codependent relationship. And what like a codependent relationship is in general. And then also hopefully like how to recognize a lack of support in your life. Like the difference between neglect and abuse, how to kind of see what those things are.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about maybe giving people a new word to take home.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
So
when we were talking about the idea of like trying, you know, like what is emotional neglect?
This word.
We were saying like, don't get so focused on like, is it emotional neglect or not? Because really what matters is this relationship good for you? Like, is this healthy for you? Right? Like, is this, you know, is this actually a good relationship for you to be in? And like we talked about way earlier, for one person, a relationship might be great. And to you, it's going to feel super neglectful. Or for another person, a relationship might feel great. And to you, it would feel super smothering and codependent, right? That this isn't just sort of a universal, like good or bad. It's about what's right for you. And that reminds me of boundaries, which is something we talk about, right? Of, you know, kind of what it is that you want or don't want in your life. If like, I'm not willing to be in a relationship where I'm treated in this particular way. Like that's a boundary. So this is sort of the opposite of that, of saying that, you know, I'm not okay with being in a relationship where I don't get a certain kind of emotional support. And so I was thinking it's not quite a boundary, but it's like a negative boundary.
No, Jace, that is a boundary though.
But it's about that you're not okay with not getting something as opposed to I'm not okay with something happening.
Okay.
Right? Like a normal boundary is like, I'm not going to have a discussion with someone who's yelling at me, right? So it's like, that's my boundary. So I'm going to remove myself from that situation if that happens and protect my boundary. But this is like...
I'm not going to be in a relationship where someone's not talking good to me.
Where someone's like not acknowledging me when I walk in a room or is not allowing me to make my own decisions or something like that. So I was thinking like, I'm not quite sure what it is yet. Is it a nega boundary or a noundry or a anti-boundary, like antimatter? When you have anti-boundaries and boundaries together, they explode. I don't know.
my problem, Chase, is that like I feel like people already have a hard time wrapping their head around just boundaries themselves.
Well, okay, then this is like this is like grad school level.
This is like
shit,
boundaries
then.
301.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So don't worry about it.
Boundaries 301. Noundaries.
Noundaries.
Wow. All right. Well.
Okay. I'm just gonna say I'm considering making this our ending tagline of every single episode. Okay, let me know what you think. As always. Please don't weaponize this shit. Like literally, I want to attach this to every single episode because I'm like, please don't take the things that we say and use them and beat
for
your partners.
Evil.
Don't use them for evil. Don't beat your partners over the head with them. Don't weaponize this stuff. Just don't.
Thank you.
Take this advice, but don't use it as a weird ruler that you want to measure. You know, as a yardstick that you're forcing someone else to live up, forcing someone else to live up mm-hmm. to. Use it as a yardstick for your own discernment in relationships and discernment in choosing partners and discernment over whether or not you should stay in a relationship or not. But please, I just don't want to hear any stories of someone being like, well, I told my partner that they're not supportive of me because multi-amory says that they need to be doing this, 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 and this. And I'm like, no one wants to be in a relationship with that person who's saying those things.
I mean, I've had people run up to me randomly, you know, at a concert and say you saved my relationship. We definitely don't want anyone to do the opposite of that and be you ruined my relationship. So don't weaponize that shit. That is my greatest fear. Thank you.
Yeah, that's all. Do you think we should append this as a tag? It's kind of a negative tag to end all the episodes on.
It is a little bit. I don't know.
Well, with this one, I think it's a fine thing to say.
It's a good sentiment to wrap into all of them. And I feel like we do talk about it a fair amount of taking ownership of your own part in things rather than using it to define and diagnose someone else. But
just please don't use us as a tool, as a weapon on other people or on your partner.
Right.
We didn't sign up for that.
That's true. Ain't nobody want that shit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And as always, don't weaponize this shit. See you next week. That could be our sign off.
There you go.
We've been trying to come up with sign off for years.
I have
years.
Another one. Okay. So I feel like there's a couple that so first, I think for a while we were definitely repeating and remember, it is okay to break up with people.
Right.
That's one. I think don't weaponize this shit is another one. And I think another one is the disclaimer of, remember, if you're in an abusive situation, none of this advice matters and you need to get the hell out.
Yeah.
That's another one. It's people being I tried to use NVC with my abusive boyfriend and it didn't work. And I'm like,
you're right.
Correct. You're right. It didn't work. Or I tried to use the Triforce with a situation with my partner who's really emotionally abusive to me. And I'm like, you're right. It's not going to work. So
yeah,
I feel those are all negative things to end out on, but I feel like they're very true.
They are. Well, sometimes the truth isn't always shiny and pretty. I guess you know what though? People are listening to this show and not, just listening to, pop psychology stuff that's everything's fine as long as you do X, Y, and Z. No. So I feel they already get it.
They understand. They know. They're
truths. Jace, you see the good in people and I don't. That's our difference here.
Okay. Well, on that note, I'm very interested to hear what emotionally supportive things you do for your partners out there. And also how you, can receive emotional support in a good way. I'm very interested to hear about that. So the best place to share your thoughts with other listeners is on this episode's discussion thread in our private Facebook group or Discord.
It's a community
chat.
Too.
Yeah,
you
community. I know.
One.
I was like, community. Oh, that's not the word that's on here. You can get access to these groups and join our exclusive community by going to patreon.com/multiamory. In addition, you can share with us publicly on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can email us at info@multiamory.com. Leave us a voicemail at 678-MULTI05. Wow, I've been doing it in a different key lately. I don't know what that's about.
It. Change it up.
Yeah, okay, all right. Or you can leave us a voice message on Facebook. Multiamory is created and produced by Dedeker Winston, Jace Lindgren, and me, Emily Matlack. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio Balvanera. Our social media wizard is Will McMillan. Our production assistant is Nicole Samara. Our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh Anand from the Fractal Cave EP. And the full transcript is available on this episode's page on multiamory.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.